Let us hear the word of God. We read from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we start at verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You come near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Our second reading is from John. John chapter 15, and we start at verse 9. Excuse me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And may the Lord bless this reading to us.
Thank you, Sheila, for these readings. That passage from Deuteronomy teaches us an important lesson. We must tell our children. We must teach our children about the love of God. It's a simple message for children, but the fact that God loves each one of us and that we should try and emulate that love is such an important message. The passage from John says this: as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. That's one version, abide in my love, which is where we get the words of that wonderful hymn, which unfortunately for most of us has connotations with funerals, but the words of abide with me are glorious words. Abide is a word that is perhaps for us a rather old-fashioned word. And I suppose it really in this context means to act in accordance with. But often we use it like, I can't abide something, or we have to abide by the rules. It can be used in a more negative way. This is how the Message puts it. This is how Eugene Peterson puts it. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I think that's a wonderful image. So it's something we can all think about this week, is how we can make ourselves at home in God's love. A great thing to strive for. The core of the Christian message is, of course, love. God loves me. Say that in your head. God loves me. How does it feel to actually sit with that? Let that thought rumble around a bit this coming week. God loves me. If we could grasp God's unconditional love for us, life would be a joyous journey. To accept that God loves me is also to accept the reality that God loves others in the same way. Sometimes that can be a challenge because I'm called to love myself and others. And it's clear from the gospel that I'm called to love people who are poor and excluded and marginalized in a very special way. And of course, I am also called to love the earth which God has entrusted to us. We have to discern how to do that. And that process of discernment is a challenging one for us as Christians. God is our guide. Now, I have Jack with me. Jack is a guide dog. Jack guides me. However, in this relationship, I'm in charge because I'm telling him where we're going. Now, that's a relationship I like, where I'm in control. I'm the session clerk in Tarvis. And the folk in Tarvis will tell you, okay, I'm visually impaired, but it doesn't stop me bossing people around. I'm very good at that. So I like relationships where it feels as though I have some control. But when it comes to God guiding, that's difficult, isn't it? It's very different because we are sometimes guided by God to things that we actually don't want to do, never thought we could do. And so it's a challenge to be guided by God and allow him to take control of us and to trust him. I have an abiding memory, there's that word, of a visit I paid to the Beald. It's a retreat centre that some of you may know of. It has a wonderful, wonderful space, the indoor space, the old carpenter's workshop, which is where they have communion. There's a swimming pool and there's a fantastic outdoor space. When I visited, they told me about a labyrinth which is cut into the grass, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to get up early and go out and walk the labyrinth in my bare feet. So off I went, found the labyrinth, and I stood there and I thought, I can't actually see this labyrinth. No, I'm not going to walk it. I'll go back and ask them if they've got a plan of the labyrinth so that I know where I'm going. So back I went and asked if they had a plan of the labyrinth. And they kind of just looked at me. And then I thought, oh, okay, Lord, maybe you're telling me something here. I don't need to know where I'm going. So back I went to the labyrinth and took my shoes and socks off. And I just went one little wee footstep at a time, feeling my way with my feet through the labyrinth. That was a lesson for me in handing over my trust, in trusting and handing over the control to God. So that's something that is a lesson for all of us. Like yourselves, we in Tarvis and Barthel Chapel are exploring how we move forward with the parish grouping. I think you're quite a bit further down the road than we are. Our grouping is with Methlick and Adney Pitt Medden and ourselves in Tarvis and Barthel Chapel. We had a meeting this last week to think about what our vision statement, mission statement might be. And it's a very interesting process, and I'm sure you've gone through this process as well. And you really have to just distill down what it means to be church. And we haven't got there yet, but we've got a basis to work on. And we'll put that together, and then of course it has to go out to the congregations to see if it's the way that they feel we should represent ourselves. During lockdown, the moderator at the time did an online service for Pentecost, and he encouraged us to come up with a 7-word mission statement. And this was a mission statement that I came up with as part of his encouragement that day. Trusting God, being church, caring for others. Trusting God, being church, caring for others. Now that's something we can all do as Christians, whether it's as individuals or families or churches. It's something we can teach our children. Trusting God, being church, and caring for others. There's something active about that. And of course, our faith has to be put into action. We can have all the world words and ideas, but unless we put our faith into action, then there is no value in it. So let us trust God and be church and care for others. Amen to that.